Chapter 2.
Valen swung his blade in a lightning quick circle, low backward to high forward, a move that would cut the imposter in two vertically. The Knot Corrin's lightsaber blade was suddenly alive and raised horizontally, blocking his blow. Like the real Corrin's, it shone silver. Perhaps the man had seized the real Corrin's weapon. It certainly looked identical. Valen felt his heart sink further. He threw a series of short slashes at Knot Corrin's head, left shoulder and left side, but his opponent blocked each one with minimal arm motion, with little effort. Then the imposter's brown boot was slamming into Valen's chest, hurtling him backward and to his right. Valen crashed down painfully atop the water-filled sink, his ribs bruising against the faucet, his right buttock shattering soaking dishes. Disoriented, he spun his blade in a defensive circle, but Knot Corrin did not immediately follow up. Instead, he was shouting, "Mirax out now!" And the woman impersonating his mother was leaving the room at a dead run, tears and a bewildered, pained expression on her face. Valen heaved himself off the sink, his rear end wet, and landed on his feet. He pointed his blade at Knot Corrin, an informal salute of grudging respect. "You've studied. Where?"
"Put the blade away, boy. I don't know what you're seeing or feeling, but we can get people in here whom you trust. We can even get Luke Skywalker here."
"Sure. I'll happily give you time to call your reinforcements. Tactically, that's a good solution for me."
"You make the calls, then."
Valen paused as if hesitating, but took that moment to assess his options. Knot Corrin was at least as good a swordsman as Valen, and Knot Mirax was clearly off calling in more help. Soon enough, Valen would be overmatched. To Valen's right were the sink and stove, cabinets above, wall behind. To the left was a wall between him and the living room. Against it stood a sideboard and the small table where Mirax's carry bag rested. Ahead was the only path out of this chamber, and Knot Corrin was in the way. Well, that was all right. In rental quarters like these, lightly constructed for ease of remodeling and for the sake of cheapness, Valen didn't need a door. He darted to the left and boosted his speed with a touch of the Force. He aimed for the open spot between table and sideboard, and the wall there was suddenly wreckage, filling the air with white powder, falling away from him in pieces, barely registering as an impact against Valen's body. It gave way as readily as a flimsy barrier would to a normal man. Now he was in the main living chamber. Ahead was a sofa. In the wall behind it was a large picture viewport with a real waterfall cascading by a few meters beyond. To the right was the door out and another window beside it. Also to the right was a blur. Knot Corrin in four-speeded motion paralleling him, now between him and the door. Valen didn't alter his trajectory. He dived forward into the viewport, counting on the minimal expense construction of this property to mean that the transparisteel there was thin, or that the mountings holding it to the wall were not the stoutest. He was right on both counts. Again, he barely felt the impact as he punched through the viewport. The thin transparisteel folded around him. Together, they hurtled into sunlight, through the waterfall downpour, and into open air beyond. Valen exerted himself, throwing the oversized sheet of transparent foil away, and dropped into what looked like a bottomless city canyon, bordered on two sides by soaring, gaudily decorated banks of sky towers. This was a vacationer's district, the vast lengths of skyrises occupied mostly by hostels, restaurants, spas, and other businesses catering to travelers and celebrants from all over Coruscant and the Alliance. The gap separating this bank of sky towers from the one facing it was about 30 meters wide, farther than his leap would carry him, but there were multiple streams of speeder traffic above and below. As he dropped, he took note of a blue and yellow striped speeder approaching below. He twisted, angling toward it, and he came down on the hood of the vehicle, landing in a deep crouch. The front end of the speeder dipped precipitously under the force of his impact. The pilot was an Ortolan, rotund and blue-skinned, his broad ears and snout suddenly being snapped back by the wind. Valen saw the pilot's eyes open wide. The repulsor lift of the speeder shrieked under the sudden demand imposed by Valen's landing. It tried to bring the speeder's nose back up. It succeeded, and as it did, Valen sprang up and forward, leaping as far as the opposite traffic lane. There, he came down atop a long bus, which did not budge under his landing. Valen flipped forward again, somersaulting, and this time landed on the deck of an open-air tourist conveyance that was beginning to fill up with vacationers boarding via a short ramp from the adjacent hostel patio. The vacationers started with surprise at the sudden appearance of a drenched, insufficiently clothed Jedi with a live lightsaber in his hand. Valen couldn't keep anger and a little panic out of his voice. "I need a comlink, quick!" He held out his hand. The few seconds that followed crawled like an eternity, but gave Valen time to think, to wonder. The vacationers and tourists boarding this vehicle were, to all outward appearance, ordinary beings of the middle class. Most of them were dressed in garments far more colorful, revealing, or both, than they would ever wear at home. They seemed normal. But how many of them, too, might be imposters? He had no sense whatsoever of the scale of this deception.